You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court.
The ACT Party has defended the government's controversial move to pass changes to pay equity law under urgency, a move that immediately halted all current claims and raised the bar for future ones. The government argues the new rules will provide more clarity and prevent costly legal disputes, while unions and advocates say the bill is a rollback of hard-won gains for women in low-paid sectors. Critics also slammed the lack of consultation and the speed of the legislative process, while questions are raised over whether the move was made to plug a hole in the upcoming budget. For our weekly catch-up, I spoke to Simon Court about why the ACT Party supports the Pay Equity Amendment Bill and whether it risks undermining efforts to close the gender pay gap. We also discussed a National Party members' bill that would ban under-16s from using social media, a proposal ACT has declined to back for now. National says the ban would protect young people's mental health, while ACT argues it raises serious questions about freedom of speech and parental responsibility. But I started off by asking him about the changes to pay equity. There are still over 20 pay equity claims in progress. How can you justify scrapping these completely? And what do you say to those groups who've been working on those claims for quite some time?
Well, let's be clear. The pay equity system is not being scrapped, and genuine cases of discrimination can still be addressed under the amended legislation. What is changing is a very costly, chaotic process that the previous Labor government left behind, that, like a lot of things Labor did, raised expectations far beyond what could practically be delivered. What we're doing is standing up for fairness and for taxpayers with the changes that Brooke Van Velden has made. And I'll tell you how crazy the system had got. Librarians, in their claim, were comparing themselves to fisheries officers in terms of the tasks they were undertaking and why that should be considered for a pay equity claim. Administrative or clerical staff were comparing themselves to mechanical and transportation engineers, and social workers were comparing themselves in their roles to air traffic controllers. I'm also aware of another one that learning support staff were comparing themselves to corrections officers. Now, clearly, that is not realistic. That's not going to help advance what we understand to be real, genuine cases of where people in workplaces are being discriminated against because of their sex. It's totally unacceptable. The law already says it's unacceptable. We're just restoring the status quo to what it was before Labor made the changes it did.
Some of those comparisons were taking place because there are no comparable sectors or careers within the same sector that are more male-dominated than female-dominated. So for those specific workers where they don't have a male-dominated field in their sector to compare themselves to, what is the solution going to be?
Well, I think the solution is to identify where there is a genuine case of discrimination based on sex and apply the law.
The Prime Minister and Nicola Willis have both said the pay equity changes aren't a move to make savings on the upcoming budget. However, ACT leader David Seymour said the law change was expected to save the government millions, adding that Brooke Van Velden had saved the budget. So which is it?
Well, what we knew is if these pay equity claims under the chaotic system Labor had left us with had progressed, the potential cost to the taxpayer could have been in the billions. It could have just completely spiraled out of control. And that's what Brooke has fixed.
But not a move to save on the budget?
Well, when Finance Minister and Budget Ministers like David Seymour, like Chris Bishop, whose responsibility for transport and infrastructure, when they are setting budgets, they need to know how much money they've got to spend and where the costs are going to come from in the next year. So, we project years out, not just 1 year in advance, and the intention is that the changes to Labor's chaotic pay equity laws are going to mean the government is not exposed to a whole lot of costs otherwise might have been. How that's taken into account by budget ministers is something that's up to them. I'm not sure how they've taken that into account because I'm not involved in that process.
The bill was passed under urgency with no consultation with the public. While this conversation has been around in the government for months, why was the process so rushed?
Well, it's been around for longer than that. When Labor brought in their pay equity changes to the system that was already in place and working, employers, manufacturers said this is going to be a disaster. Not only will this affect the public sector workers, it will affect private sector workers, and we have no idea how this is going to be paid for across either public or private. When Brooke van Velden became the Minister of Workplace Relations and Safety, in her letter to the Prime Minister setting out her work plan, she raised this as a matter that she was going to address this term of government. So look, it's been well signalled that these changes were coming, and you know, when you think about what is the need to involve the public, look, it's important when we have, it's important we do get the public views. Public's views were aired at the time of the changes that Labor made, and yeah, they were told not to do it by the people most affected, you know, taxpayers, groups and employers, and they went ahead and did it anyway. So simply restoring the status quo to what it was before Labor made their changes is something you could say, well, you know, if we do it under urgency because Parliament's time is limited, we've got enough information to make those changes. And in fact, you know, opposition representatives had a very long period of time in Parliament to question the minister and the chair, Brooke van Velden, about the changes, and to get more detail if they thought that was going to help. But in the end, the answer is what Labor did to this law was crazy, and putting it back to what it was is the right thing to do.
You say there was opposition from working groups when Labor made the changes. Has the government or Brooke van Velden gone back to those groups? Now it's been over a year since those changes were made, to see how they're actually feeling before she reversed them.
Well, I'm not aware of what communication that Brooke van Velden has had with different groups, but what is clear is that if these claims had progressed, they would have cost taxpayers and employers billions and billions of dollars, and there's no way that New Zealand taxpayers and consumers could afford to pay for that. So what ACT does in government, and what Minister Brooke van Velden has done as an ACT minister, is make sure that we look after and protect the interests of consumers and taxpayers. And one of the ways to do that is to make sure that we don't have crazy laws driving costs into the economy that are unaffordable and, frankly, completely unnecessary to address the kind of things like sex discrimination, which the law is supposedly intended to do.
The ACT Party has come out against the National Party not supporting the members' bill to ban social media for under-16s. Why does the party oppose this change?
Well, we certainly recognise that there are many parents and young people concerned about what's going on in terms of their social media feeds or people being able to bully other young people over social media. So we do recognise it's a problem. And you know, I'm a parent who's raised three boys through childhood, their teenage years, and seen how they interact with social media. So it's quite clear that there are matters that when I was growing up and we didn't have cell phones and social media, we had different problems. But this is a problem that parents are asking us to solve. What ACT is saying, that simply imposing a ban on under 16-year-olds in the absence of understanding how that will work might not be the best way to achieve the aim of reducing harm from social media. So what ACT is proposing is actually we have a public inquiry. That's what select committees can do. And Dr. Parmjit Palmer, ACT MP, has written to the Chair of Parliament's Education and Workforce Committee, actually asking to open an inquiry so that we can get the views of the big tech companies, groups that deal with young people and young people themselves and parents, and try to understand what is the actual problem we're trying to solve and what are the likely legislative or regulatory steps that a government can take. Because at the moment, with all due respect to Catherine Weird, who I believe understands there is a problem to solve, is not convinced that that members' bill is the right way to do it.
Yesterday, Prime Minister Christopher Luxon announced he is investigating social media restrictions for under-16s will now become part of the government's work program. Is the ACT Party open to working with their coalition partners on this?
Well, certainly. But I guess the issue is that if this goes back into a government department who's asked to come up with a bright idea, chances are they'll miss something. as we've seen in Australia, where their government acted to ban, pass a law banning social media for under-16s, but has in the last couple of weeks come out and said, oh, that doesn't include YouTube, which of course is a really, a really well-used channel by young people who, you know, following their favourite gamers or influencers and being able to comment on things on various YouTube channels. So, look, the Australians haven't been able to demonstrate how it works. I highly doubt that a couple of people in a government department are going to be able to come up with something better, and that's why ACT has called for a public inquiry into this problem, and so we can get the best possible solutions that can help young people navigate some of the challenges they're going to face in life, which they might first be exposed to through social media.
That was the ACT Party's Simon Corr on the Pay Equity Amendment Bill and the National Party Members' Bill proposing a social media ban for under-16s.
That was Simon Corr from the ACT Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.